Shalom to all. Today's office of Abbas Daf Kuf Zayin. We're starting about the second line with the word Itmar. And today's office sponsor Lilu Nishmas Mars Merim Sarabas Yaakov Maisha Her Nishama should have an Aliyah. And we have another case of Chalukah of Yerusha. The Gemara tells us Itmar was dated Achin Shechalku, two brothers that's both Yerusha. It doesn't have to be two. That happens to be this case. It could be three or more. Uba Bal Chayv Vinatal Chalka Shalachem Mehen. And then a Bal Chayv of their father came and took one of the portions. So let's just keep this simple. Their father died and left them two fields. Reuven took one. Shimon took the other. And then their father's Bal Chayv came and took Reuven's field from him. Rav Amar, he says, this machlokes, his original division, is totally batal, and they're going to redivide this remaining field and start again all from the beginning. Ushmuel Mashmuel says, Viter, he's mevater, meaning Reuven loses out on his field, and it's his tough luck. Rav Asi says, in between. Noto Revia Bakarka, he gets a quarter of the karka, meaning Reuven gets a quarter of Shimon's karka. Or Revia Bamois, a quarter in monetary compensation, meaning Shimon doesn't have to give a quarter of his property to Reuven, he can give the value of a quarter of his property to Reuven. Now we explain this. Rav Amar Rav says, batal machlokes, the entire division is batal, and they're going to have to restart from the beginning. Why is that? Because he holds the brothers, when they split their father's Yerusha, they're just considered Yarshim. In other words, we understand as follows. According to Rav, brothers are Yarshim. Namely, when their father dies, each brother automatically inherits only 50% of the property. Now, we don't know which 50% is his, and it's once they make the Yerusha, we say it must be that retroactively what they receive now really always was theirs. This is called Breira. Rav holds Breira, loosely translated as retroactive clarification. Retroactively, it's now been clarified that which they just received after the split was theirs the entire time. But this is considered a Yerusha. Now, we also know that whatever property their father leaves them is Meshubit to pay back a Bal Chayv, and that's exactly what happened here. Even though they made this split, since the property is Meshubit to pay a Bal Chayv, and the Bal Chayv took it away from Reuven, so that means that retroactively it turns out that this property really was never Reuven's. So they go back to the drawing board with only one property, that's the one that Shimon had received, and they're going to have to redivide that. Now, Shmuel says, Viter, he gave up on his portion, Kasavar Ha'achin Shechol. He holds that brothers that split a Yerusha, they're considered like buyers, lekuchas. And it's like they're buying shaloi bachrayis without an insurance policy. In other words, Shmuel holds that brothers that split a Yerusha are not viewed as yarshim, they're viewed as lekuchas. When their father dies and he leaves the Yerusha to these two brothers, both of them technically inherit the entire thing, and we're never going to really know which portion belongs to which brother. And even when they do split the Yerusha, we don't say breira according to Shmuel, we don't say retroactively it was always theirs. It's just viewed like they're buying each other's portions off of each other. The one that Reuven is receiving is like Shimon is being Michael that part to Reuven, and the one that Shimon is receiving is as if Reuven is being Michael that part to him. And therefore, when one of them loses their portion, like in our case, when the Bal Chayv took it away from Reuven, it's as like he was Mavater, he gave up, or he lost out on his portion, because that's it. There's nothing to do about it. They're not considered Yarshim anymore. They're just like Lekuchas, and it's like Lekuchas Shaloi Bachrayas. When a person buys a property and there's no insurance policy on it, and then it gets taken away by the seller's Bal Chayv, so it's the buyer's tough luck, and that's Reuven over here. Now, what about Rav Asi? Masapkale, he's Masopik. Are they considered like Yarshim or Lekuchas? Hilkach, therefore, Neto Revia Bakarka, he gets a quarter of the Karka, or Revia Bamais, a quarter in monetary compensation. In other words, it's a moment of multiple Safik. We're not so sure how much he should receive. Should he receive a full half, or should he receive nothing? So therefore, he gets a quarter. Now, Rav Papa tells us, Hilkach Bechalani Shmaitza, the Alocha and all these members, meaning the one that we just spoke about, and the one from yesterday, which talks about where there were two brothers that split the Yerusha, and then a third brother came along later on. The Alocha is Kamtsin, which we explained yesterday, means that the brother or brothers that have property, they have to take a little bit of theirs and give it to the other one. So in the case that we just mentioned, it would be Shimon taking some of his property and giving it to Reuven. And this is different than Rav, because Rav says that we redo the entire division. We restart from the beginning. According to our papa, we're not going to do that. Shimon just takes some of his property and he gives it to Reuven. Now, Amemar says, batal machlokes, it's completely batal like Rav. V'hilchos on the halacha is batal machlokes, that it's completely batal and we restart from the beginning. And on to another discussion. We have a braisa, three that went down to an evaluation. We have three dayanim that are evaluating the nechasim of Yisaimim. They owe money. They could owe this money for multiple different reasons, but for whatever reason it is, Bezin is going to their property evaluating how much it's worth, and we have to have at least three dayanim here. And now we have an issue. One of them says that this property is worth 100. The other two say the property is worth 200. Or one of them says it's worth 200, and the other one says it's only worth 100. The individual is because he's the miut, and we know that achir rabim lahatois, we always go after the rabim, so the two win over the one. But let's say it's the following: echad aymer b'mana, one of them says it's worth a mana, that's 100. Ve'echad aymer be'esrim, the other one says it's worth 20. 20 over here means 20 sela, in other words, 80 zoz. Ve'echad aymer b'shloishim, the other one says it's worth 30, meaning 120 zoz. So let's just put this in order. We have three dayanim. One of them says it's worth 80, the other one says it's 100, and the third one says it's worth 120. So we have a three-way machlokes. How we paskin? Nidain. The Tanakhama says says that we say the value of the property is 100. Or Rabbi Elazar Tzadik Aimer, he tells us, Nidan B'tishem, it's judged at 90. Whereas Acherim Aimerim, Acherim say, Oisin Shumu Beinehem, we make an evaluation between them, Umashal Shlin, and we split it into three, meaning we take the lowest number and the highest number, calculate the difference between them, which in our case is 40, because the lowest number was 80, the highest was 120, that's a difference of 40, and Mashal Shlin means we split it into three, and 40 divided by three, for all intents and purposes, is 13.3, so that's going to be added on to the lowest amount. Now we explain these shitas, Ma'ad Amar Nidim Amana, according to Tanakama, that we just judge it at Amana, Melsa Mitziasa, he says that we go with the midline. What does that mean with the midline? So it's not that we're going with Amana just because it's precisely halfway in between 80 and 120. It's because we make the following cheshbon. We have 2 verses 1 saying that this property is not worth more than 100, but that we also have 2 verses 1 saying this property is not worth less than 100. Therefore, must be the magic number is 100. If that middle dayon didn't say 100, but he said 103.5, we would make the same cheshbon. We have 2 verses 1 that this property is not worth more than 103.5, and we have 2 verses 1 that this property is not worth less than 103.5. And then we would say that it's worth 103.5. And that's what we mean by Milsa Mitziasa. Now, Elazar Tzadik Aimer, he tells us that no, Nidan B'tishem, it's judged at 90. And we're going to see Elazar Tzadik Svara is based off of the following. He's not happy with saying that 2 of the dayanim made a mistake, and the 3rd dayan was the only one that nailed it on the head. It makes more sense to say that 2 dayanim made a very slight mistake, and 1 of them made a big one. And that's what he explains right now. Kasavar, he holds, Ha'ara, this land, Kovzayin Omen based on top, Tishim Shaveh, is really worth 90. Ba'adaka Amar Esrim, and the one that said that it's worth 20, which means 80, Dekatayasar Lachayre, he just made a mistake 10 behind. Instead of saying 90, he made a slight mistake by saying 80. Ba'adaka Amar Mane, and the one that said it's a Mane, that's 100, Katayasar Lachamei, he made a mistake 10 in front, and really the property is worth 90. And the one who said it was worth 120, he's totally off. So the Gemara asks, why is that? Adraba, why don't we say the opposite? Ha'ara Me'av Asar Shavyo, why don't we say the property is worth 110? Ba'adaka Amar Mane, and the one that said 100, Katayasar Lachayre, he's the one that made a mistake 10 back. Ba'adaka Amar Shleishem, and the one who said it was worth 30, which means 120, Katayasar Lachamei, he made a mistake 10 ahead, and therefore the property should be valued at 110, not at 90. And the answer is that no, Nekaitmias Trey Kamai Biyadcha, take these first 2 in your hand, Dimitaris Mane, Le Mafkile, because they're not taking it out of a Mane. In other words, all 3 of them are agreeing that this property is worth almost a Mane, let's say, because even Dayan number 3 that said it's worth 120, well, Nichlal in 120 is 90 or 100, and since we have a rule, Tafasta Maruba, Loi Tafasta, if you try to take too much, so you might not end up with anything, therefore we go with the lower 2 Dayanim and say that they are the ones that made a slight mistake, and therefore it's valued at 90. Now we're going to explain the 3rd sheet, Acherim Aimrim, Oisin Shuv B'Neim Mishalshin. We make an evaluation of the discrepancy between the lowest and the highest numbers, and then we divide it into 3. Kasavri he holds, Hai Ara Tishin Utlasa V'Tilsa Shavya, this land is really worth 93.3, because that's 80 plus 13.3. And Hai Dekamar Esrim, the one who said 20, which again is 80, Katoy Tileser V'Tilsa L'Chayre, he made a mistake by appraising it at 13.3 less than it's really worth. Hai Dekamar Bane, and the one who said Bane, Katoy Tileser V'Tilsa L'Kamei, he really made a mistake appraising it 13.3 more than it's worth. In other words, the 2nd Dayan really thought that this property was worth 106.6. Ubedin hu delay matvei, and really he should have said that that's how much it was worth. And behind the Leika Amar, the reason why he didn't say that and he only said that it was worth 100, again instead of saying that it was worth 106, is Savar, he figures to himself, mistai de kametfino kule haya chavroi, it's enough that I've already added on so much on top of my friend, because he thinks himself, look, my friend, the other Dayan, said that it was worth 80. I appraised it at 106.6, but it's too much for me to say that it's 106.6. That's too much of a par between me and my friend. Therefore, I'm just going to say 100, and then it's not so far off. Asking more of the same question it did before, Adrabu, we should say the opposite. Really, we should say this land is worth 113.3. And Haidakamar Moned, the Dayan that said it was worth 100, he made a mistake misjudging it by 13.3 less than it really is. Haidakamar Shleishim, the one who said it was worth 30, meaning 120, he made a mistake 13.3 beyond. And Ubedin Udakamar Tvei, he really should have said that higher number. He really should have said that it was worth 126.6, whereas Savar, he figured to himself, it's enough that I'm already saying way more than my friend. It's better just to say 120 instead of 126.6. Why don't we say it like this? And the answer is, like we answered before, we should at least take the first 2, Demetar's male, and Mafkile, they're not taking it out of the number of 100, and therefore we're going to say that it was really the first 2 that made the small mistake and not the 3rd one, and therefore this property is really worth 93.3. Now, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna tells us, halacha kacherim, halacha zakacherim. And Amar Rav Ashi says, Taimad acherim lo yedinon. We don't even know the reason for acherim. Even though the Gemara just gave us a reason, it's not really so logical, it's not fully understood why they would be making a mistake of 13.3 or 13.3. It's a little bit difficult to grasp. And Hilchasav Dinon Kavasayu, you're going to say that halachas like them? That doesn't make sense. Now we have a very similar conversation. Taimad Dayan Gaila, the Dayan Gaila, who is Shmuel Shmuel and Karna, we've already had them before. They taught Nebraisa, Ois and Shum Beneim and Mishalshin. Then we do this Shuma, and we're Mishalshin. We divide it into thirds, and we add that number onto the lowest appraisal, which is also opinion of Achirim. And Amar Avuna, Avuna says, Halchasakadayani Gaila, the Halach is like them. And Amar Vashi, Vashi said on this, Tamadayani Gaila, Loya Dinon. We don't even know the reason. Halchasakadayani Kavasayu, we're going to pass an Halach like them. And so once again, we conclude this with a challenge from Ravashi. And also the last mention of the parak, Haimel Chaveroi, a fellow tells his friend, Chetzi Sada Ani Marchalacha, I'm selling you half of my field. Mishamnim Benehem, we do this thing, which we're going to explain to the Gemara what it is. And after doing this, when I tell Chetzi Sadehu, he takes half the field. Now let's say the Marcha tells him, Chetzi Bedarim Ani Marchalacha, I'm selling you half in the south. Also here, Mishamnim Benehem, Venoit Chetzi Bedarim, they do this Mishamnim, and he takes half in the south. Now besides for the buyer getting half the field, Vumakabal Olav Makama Geder, the seller has to accept upon himself the place where the buyer's fence is going to go, meaning that also has to be added on. Charetz uben charetz, a large ditch and a small ditch. The place for all these have to be given to the buyer for free. And the mission just concludes, v'kamu charetz, how wide is a ditch? Shisha tfachim, that's six tfachim. And uben charetz, a small ditch, how much is that? Shloisha, that's three tfachim. Nothing more explains what it means, mishamnim b'neim. So Amar Chaver Abba, Amar B'yechron, lekech noitel kachashabay. Lekech takes the weakest part of the field, meaning the inferior part of the land. And that's because there's really a suffix. When a fellow says, I'm going to sell you half of my field, it doesn't mean I'm going to sell you half of the property in size, and then he would have to divide the property in half and give the buyer all the different types of land. So let's say there's two different types of land over here in this field. There's Idis, which is the best, and there's Ziburis, which is the worst. He would have to give him half of his Idis and half of Ziburis. Or it doesn't mean I'm going to give you half of the value of my field. Let's say the field is worth $100, so the Meicher would give him $50 worth of the property, but the Meicher can choose what type he's going to give him. He doesn't necessarily have to give him Idis. The choice is he could give him all that $50 in Ziburis. And that's what the Mishnah means by Mishamnim Beinehen. There's a lashon of Shuman, like fat or choicest. And that's what the Gemara just explained, that the Meicher has the choice to retain all the choicest, all the best property for himself, and he only has to give half of the value of the land to the buyer, even though it's going to be in Kachush, in the weakest or most inferior property. Now, Amalei Rechibar Abba Rebechon, Rechibar Abba Asar Rebechonon, V'ho'anan Mishamnim Beinehen Tanan. The Mishnah says, Mishamnim Beinehem, and literally Beinehem means in between them. So that would seem to be that they would have to divide the field equally, and the buyer would get equal portions in all the different levels that this field has to offer, not like what you're saying. So Amalei Rebechon told him, Ad Achas Kafnaisa Bavel, while you were eating dates in Bavel, Targinim Misefa, we explained this based off of the Sefer of the Mishnah. In other words, you were enjoying yourself in Bavel, having fine dates, and you didn't necessarily apply yourself as much as you should have, and we in Eretz Yisrael, who didn't have that luxury, if you will, we were able to understand what the Mishnah was talking about, Diktani Seifa, because the Sefer of the Mishnah says, Chatzi B'darim Mimarcha L'cha, if the Mimarcha sells him the southern half, so we also use the same Lashon, Mishamnim B'nehem, V'noitel Chatzi B'darim. He takes half in the Darim. Now the question is, V'mai Mishamnim B'nehem, why would they do this Mishamnim B'nehem, V'al Chatzi B'darim Amarlei? He told him, I'm selling you the southern half, so we shouldn't be using this Lashon of Mishamnim B'nehem. Ella must be that, how do we understand the Seifa? L'dami, he's talking about the value, meaning the Mimarcha is telling him, I'm selling you half of the value of the field. What type of value? The value of the southern half. But he doesn't actually have to give him the real southern half of the field. He just evaluates how much the southern half of the field is worth, and then he could give him that value anywhere in the field. Hachinami, so too over here in the Reisha, Ladami, it's talking about just the value. When he says, I'm selling you half of my field, it means I'm selling you half of my field in value, but that half of field in value could be given from anywhere in the field, and it does not have to be from the choicest. And the Gemara explains the last part of the Mishnah, Makabal Olav Makam Geder V'chulu, that the seller also has to give to the buyer three things: the place where he's going to put his fence, and place for a large ditch and a small ditch. And remember, a large ditch is six tfachim wide, and a small ditch is three tfachim wide. And Tana was taught in the Braisa, Chartz mebachotz uben chartz mebifnim. V'zeh v'zeh achari geder. A wide ditch is on the outside, the narrow ditch is on the inside, and both of them are on the other side of the fence. In other words, the way it would look if you were inside the field is that you have a fence in front of you, and then on the other side of the fence, you have a narrow ditch, and then on the other side of the narrow ditch, you have a wide ditch. And why is it that we have these three things in this order? So that an animal can't jump onto the fence. In other words, the reason why we're going to have any sort of ditch is to prevent wild animals from jumping onto the fence, which would then allow them to climb over into the field and eat the produce. Ask the Gemara, hold on a second. Why not just make a wide ditch and not bother making a small one, and animals won't be able to get in? What do we have the small ditch for? And the answer is, since the wide ditch is wide, it's six tfachim wide, an animal could be inside the ditch. There's enough place for it to stand inside the kaftza, and it will still be able to jump onto the fence, and therefore we have to have a small one. So Gemara asks, fine, v'levid ben charetz, v'levid charetz. Make a narrow ditch of three tfachim and don't bother making a wide ditch of six tfachim. What's the point of making both? And the answer why we can't just have the narrow one is because I had to cut in, since it's too small, kaima svase v'kaftza. The animal could stand on the lip of the small one and jump onto the fence. And v'kama ben charetz, l'ben charetz, tefach. How much is in between the wide one and the narrow one? A tefach. And now that we have this last piece, that there's a tefach in between the wide and narrow Number one, we can fully understand what this is for. An animal approaching this fence, wanting to jump onto it and over it to get some produce in the field, is first going to meet a wide ditch of six tefachim. Then there's a small lip of a tefach wide in between this wide one and the next one, which is narrow, of three tefachim, and only then he's able to get to the fence. Now, even if this animal says, look, I'm going to go inside this wide ditch of six tefachim and I'm going to climb out the other side and jump onto the fence, he's not going to be able to do that because there's only a lip of one tefach in between the wide one and the narrow one, and an animal can't stand on such a narrow ledge of one tefach, and he can't jump from the inside of the wide one either because he's too low down, he's inside the ditch, and so these two ditches together with their narrow space in between them is going to prevent the animal from jumping onto the fence and getting into the field. Hachaloch Beis Korah, Mazel Tov, finishing the seventh parak of Maseches Baba Basra, just like we zecha finished this parak together, we should be zecha to finish the entire Masechet together, and of course, all of Shas together. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, beginning the brand new parak. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.